it's gray. But my experiences have been like how to basically like utilize juxtaposition in a way that like your brain just gets intuitively just, I mean, it's like the ultimate brainworm. It just pulls you into the story. And so you're already off on the comic book and you just start doing the rounds. And so it like puts you in the cartoon kind of thing. So I've always been fascinated with that.
Did anybody catch Sarah Beth saying too much soundboard? It sounded just like what's her name from the Family Guy? Too much soundboard.
No, but that shut the fuck up, God sauce. Like, I want that. I want that. I need that clip.
That last space was bumping. I closed it for the dogs. Sarah Beth, it was a bad idea. I liked my space better.
Yeah, we're 0-for-2 today.
Yeah. Fuck. Damn, man.
Who's gonna ruin this one?
Nobody.
Well, Data.
Come on,
it.
Data.
I was just kidding around, Sarah B. I was just kidding.
Who's gonna talk some shit? Oh, what's up, Sarah?
Oh, shut the fuck up, Godsauce.
No, that didn't sound
good.
Yeah, no,
I didn't
good.
Mean that we had to shut
I
down
need
the room
that.
Just to
the
go
first
over
time
and
you said
hang
it,
out with the Dodger Dogs.
So iconic. I need that first clip of you saying it.
Why? What was the difference?
I don't know. The inflection, the directness, the timing. It was just, you know, it's perfect.
That's good.
Well, it is good. It's a recorded space. Awesome.
And this is where, you know, there's different parts of intelligence are for different precision points in the application of the ultimate community, you know, and you need the comedy guys to sort of hit the nail on the head, you know.
Good to see you, Jack.
Come on up, Data. This is me signaling. Come on up. Come on.
Jack,
up.
Be nimble. Jack, be quick. Get your ass up here, you fucking prick.
No, you fucking schmuck. Schmuck.
It rhymed. Prick rhymed better.
Yeah, but, you know, it's the attitude, you know. You know, don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me to rhyme. Jack, what do you think about all this disclosure shit? Actually, what do you think about Lou Elizondo?
Talking to me now?
Yes, sir.
Can you hear
yes,
me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, you sound wonderful,
okay,
Jack.
Okay, Louis Elizondo, the good, the bad, and the bogus. Listen, Louis and I, Louis's done a couple of good things, but Louis's a stupid. When it comes to science, he should just keep his big mouth shut, okay? He doesn't understand anything about the science. He's basically, he means well, I think. And he should just stick to the raw data and supply us with what he knows from the inside. But he's not honest because he kind of blocked me. I was trying to help him. His book could have been much better because the science could have been accurate. This was a couple of years ago. Basically, Louis and Chris Mellon and other people who were anti-Trump, that's why they kind of tried to cancel me. At the moment, I'm not that pro-Trump in terms of Iran, although things are beginning to look pretty good right now. Let's hope that we have peace in Iran. That was a big mistake that Trump made. But in any case, for political reasons, and also Dan Farah, the guy
who made
the film.
Yeah.
Yeah, the director. They're all stupid. Let me qualify that. They are ignorant to the point that I could explain the technology. I could explain to them what's going on, okay? But they, it's as though they don't want to know the truth about how all this stuff works. Partly they're, and perhaps they cannot understand the truth, even if it's shown to them, because you do have to understand basic mathematics and basic physics. If you don't understand the basic, basic math and physics, you'll never understand, how these things work. But all I can tell you is that we perfectly understand the physics of UFOs, both the propulsion and the power, the telepathy, all that stuff. That's well understood. It's just, it's basically elementary physics. Okay, it's understood. Now, the politics of it, we don't. I mean, I'm not saying I understand the motives of some of these beings, you know. That's a different issue. But I am saying we understand the technology. And not only that, I do have now the backing. You know, billionaires are funding my work. And I have a team, international team. And we are in position. Manhattan Project 2.0 is a real project. And within 3 years, we'll have our own, you know, Tic Tacs flying around, you know, to prove the point.
I love that.
Okay. Now, so, and now what I can say is this, where I do agree with Louis, yes, we do have a captured craft. This I know for pretty, let's put it this way. I know this with over 90% confidence level. Okay. I know people, military whistleblowers, we do have retrieved craft. We do have live aliens. We have all that. I know of at least three different alien species. I think Cal Putoff says he knows of four. You know, I don't doubt that. So the basic core story, we all agree, even Louis and Chris Mellon and me and everybody, Cal Putoff, we all agree on the basic core story. Where the battle is how to understand the data, okay? And what I'm saying is that Hal Putoff and these people, they don't understand gravity physics. Hal has done some very good work. I know I first met Hal Putoff in 1972, and I fully support his work at Stanford Research Institute. In fact, I was part of it, you know, in the remote viewing, all that kind of stuff. Hal did a very good job, and Hal certainly knows some, he's an engineer. You have to understand, there's a big difference between an electrical engineer and a theoretical physicist. Wait,
are you still in touch with Mr. Targ?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. In fact, we had breakfast together with Fred Allen Wolf about a year ago. You know, he's over 90 years old. Yes. Yeah, I'm still in touch with him. So that's the situation. So are there any questions?
Yeah, I got some plans. Something I'm sending Bob. Well, I've already sent him several versions of it for a new physics. This is a model size.
Oh, God bless, you are breaking up, buddy.
Am I? Shit.
Yeah, you're breaking.
Is this better?
Yeah. Are you talking about Russell Targ? I don't understand. Are you saying you? You want to get in touch with Russell Targ? Is that what you were saying?
No, I asked a question about Mr. Targ, and then Godsauce is talking about physics now.
I just wanted to say that your little joke about Chris Mellon is hilarious, calling him a melonhead. That's absolutely freaking hilarious, bro. Thank you for that.
Okay, yeah. Talk louder, by the way.
Yeah, I was just suggesting that I don't know. I don't know. You've got me blocked. I'm not sure why, but there's a.
Who are you? Who are you?
I'm God Sauce. I'm the co-host. God Saw Us.
Okay. Doc, who?
God Saw Us. I'm at the co-host. I'm
God Saw Us. I don't know why you're blocked.
I don't either. But I've got a new computation engine for physics that turns any old device into a coherence quantum processor, and I'm showing.
Okay. Tell me. Yeah. Okay. Listen, before you speak, because it's hard. You know, this kind of information cannot be transmitted usefully in sound clips. Send me an email to my email is my name, Jack Sarfati. You know how to spell it, right? Double T. Sarfatti, just jacksarfati@gmail.com. Send me all the details. I'll get back to you. And I don't know why you're blocked. I'll unblock you. I have no idea. You know, that name doesn't ring a bell. Why you should have been blocked. I don't know. But so just send me an email with the details and let me look at it, you know, properly, because these are complicated things.
Right.
I'm working with I'm working with a couple of AI geniuses. You know, we have I'll look at what you have and I'll get back to you on that. Okay,
that's awesome.
Sounds interesting.
Jack, I have a question for you. I wanted to ask you, there's a lapse in my topological understanding of this whole rollout and release your shit. Why now? What do you think?
Okay. Now you're not talking physics now. And you know, I'm not particularly expert. It's a good question. It's a very good question. I don't have a good answer for you, except to say that, let's see, how can I put this? You know, there are things that are coming to a head. Do you know about Chris Bledsoe?
Yes, sir.
All guys know about,
yeah.
You know, about the orbs. You know, Chris Bledsoe had this vision about 4 or 5 years ago that Bibi Netanyahu was going to try to nuke Iran, you know, in the Samson alternative, and that the ET stopped it from, you know, they prevented a nuclear war. So apparently he's had this vision years ago. Just the other day, I think yesterday or the day before, there was a really good 3-hour session with Rob McGuire, you know, Science Bob, who turns out he's a heavy intelligence scientist dude, and he knows Chris Bledsoe very well. And you know, you have John Ramirez saying that something's going to happen in 2027, all this stuff. I was supposed to go down to Mar-a-Lago on August, let's see, when would it have been? August 8th last year, I was supposed to go to Mar-a-Lago to brief President Trump, you know, on the physics, what I'm trying to tell you guys about. That was called off at the last moment because that's when Putin, yeah, that's when Anchorage happened. Then I was supposed to see him again at Mar-a-Lago on October 13th, and something happened then. So I haven't actually personally briefed the president, but CIA people that I work with who are close to the president have told me that President Trump has been briefed on my view of things. You know, whether that's, I mean, I don't know. I don't know directly. But, and, you know, John, the president's uncle was part of Majestic 12, you know, was worked with Vannevar Bush, MIT, World War II. So I think Trump is pretty well read in on this. And we're now at the point that we're going to develop our own, our own technology. It's not that hard. And as I say, I have a team and I have backing, and we're actually working on the reverse, and you know, actually building this stuff. And of course, it's weapons. You know, the whole idea is okay. Let me just summarize what's going on here. The big picture. All of modern technology and weapon systems is based on the control of the electromagnetic field with small amounts of energy, you know, like the Tesla car, right? Electric cars, okay? What we haven't been able to control is gravity. And we now know how to control gravity with small amounts of electromagnetic energy, okay? That's warp drive. It's also time travel, because gravity is the space-time field itself, the unified space-time continuum, the four-dimensional space-time continuum is what gravity is. And if you control gravity, it means you control time. And what all these UFOs are, all the stuff that we've been seeing that have been with us for thousands of years and all that, it's they're time, basically time travel. It's warp drive time travel. And so that also means that all our current military technology is obsolete. And also Elon Musk, as I'm trying to get, Elon Musk is pissing away lots of money on rockets. I mean, it's very brilliant what he does. It's great, but it's stupid. You're not going to get, I mean, 6 months to Mars is not going to work. It doesn't cut the mustard. Now, they do have this new fusion rocket proposal that can get to Mars in 30 days. But with what I'm talking about, you get to Mars in about, you know, 10 minutes or less, all right, something like that, through a wormhole, basically, you know, Stargate stuff. So all that science fiction stuff is actually real. Okay, so and let me just give you a little bit more background. My professors built the atomic bomb. You saw Oppenheimer, Manhattan Project. Those are the guys I learned physics from. I was part of a U.S. Army project since I was a child, you know, the Super Kids programs. It's the 1940s. I'm pretty sure I met Phil Corso, if you know who he is, when I was 10 years old.
Have you met any of the Solvay guys?
What's that?
The Solvay Foundation, do you know them? They were huge in the physics before World War II and then after.
Of course I know about the Solvay Foundation. Yeah, Solvay conferences, yes. I don't know if I was directly involved with them. The guy who financed this kids program was the guy from Texas Space. His name escaped. It'll come back to me. He created the University of Texas at Dallas. McDermott, Eugene McDermott. Eugene McDermott was, he was like, he was part of like John Trump, Vannevar Bush. These are all the scientists, military scientists, OSS, World War II. And actually, Eugene McDermott was from Brooklyn, and I'm from Brooklyn. But Eugene McDermott.
Born in Brooklyn, raised in Queens, my good friend.
You schmuck.
Yeah, right. I was in Flatbush.
But nice. Well, I was right by Bushwick, which is a little bit further.
Yeah, right around Brooklyn College area, I was brought up. But in any case, the Eugene McDermott, from World War II, financed this project of getting genius kids into science from Columbia University with Professor William Sheldon. And I was like recruited into that, as a little kid. My grandfather worked for the Army. It's a whole story. We'll go into that. So, but I was already told about flying saucers back in 1949 by, I think, Phil Corso himself. I can't be 100% sure it was Phil Corso when I, excuse me, when I saw a picture of Phil Corso. It was older, but I thought it was the guy who I would talk to at Army Quartermaster Corps, at John Wanamaker Building down in the Garment District, Manhattan, back in the late 1940s. And so, and I was sent to Cornell on a military scholarship, So I was part of a program to figure all this stuff out. And I'm 86 years old now, right? So we're talking about almost 80 years in this business, okay? I've been conscious, okay? I'm like the last man standing from that era, all right? So the point is this, what I'm trying to say is that there are no mysteries to the phenomenon. There's really no need for the disclosure. Everything's really been disclosed. What they should do is show the films, the high resolution films. But the fact is, yes, aliens exist. We're not alone in the universe. And it's warp drive. We don't need rockets. We can, the aliens or the time travelers, they're able to neutralize our nuclear weapons. In fact, all our weapons are impotent and obsolete. But the problem is this. This is what the problem is. We have a political problem. The problem is that the physics of warp drive, making Star Trek real, the physics of that is very elementary stuff. I could teach it to a high school kid, to a smart high school kid now. We could have high school, we could have 16, 17-year-olds, doing experiments, building this stuff on their own in high school.
Hey, Jack.
Basically, yeah.
We've got a couple of hands. Do you mind answering some questions from the crowd?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sarah, sure, go UFO ahead. Sarah, what's up?
Hey, Orr, it's good to see you. Jack, always a pleasure to be in a space with you. How are you doing? Are you having a drink? Might I ask?
No, I'm not having a drink, but I do have influenza, but I'm on the mend. Yeah, I've been on Tamiflu. I caught influenza coming back from London a week ago on the flight from London to San Francisco. Yeah, I'm on Tamiflu. I'm almost over it, but I still have the post the cough from the influenza. Yeah, you got to be careful, by the way. There's this new epidemic. Even if you've had a flu shot, of course, most of you people are young, so you could, but this is a very nasty new strain of influenza. And the flu shot, the fact that I had a flu shot has protected me from getting a really bad case. Like I never got a sore throat. I never got a fever, you know, but I did, you know, I did get a cough and, you know, they analyzed it, went to the emergency room. And, but so that's what you're hearing.
Oh, well, I feel better, buddy.
Yeah, I hope you feel better.
I'm going to do shit for you.
I'm glad I'm glad that you're here with us tonight. This is a quite interesting time that we're living through, isn't it? My question is in regards to the time travel, because in regards to the NHI itself, because as you know, Corso Jr. in 2018 talked about them being future humans. Hal Puthoff, you know, talks about future, right, hit with his paper. And but what we have coming out of the Pentagon is angels and demons. And what we have coming from some of the IC, the intel guys, is old gods, which is very interesting.
Say what?
Old gods. They say it's the old gods returning. And so
I'm
very curious what, because you're saying alien, I mean, I'm down. I'm open. I'm ready to learn. You're saying that aliens exist. They're here. They can get here, and future humans. What are we looking at here? Are we looking at a complete spectrum?
Okay, wait. Say, I'm not sure if I understood your question because the audio is not that good. You're asking me about aliens. Aliens and demons are simply the time travelers. You know, the gods. All that. It's all the same thing. It's all one thing.
It's all one.
It's just that, you know, primitive people who didn't have science, they called them angels and demons and gods, right? They have superpowers compared to especially primitive people.
What's the difference with the interdimensional?
What's that?
What's the difference with the interdimensional ones then? They say there's interdimensional, they say there's interplanetary. So what's the difference?
Wouldn't it be both, right? Yeah, okay. Technically, you're wormholing
Just let me answer your question. First of all, you have to carefully define what does interdimensional mean. Okay, now it does mean something. There is a meaning to it. For as a physicist, we think in a very precise mathematical way that, and the mathematics enables us to do experiments and to test, you know, with technology and machines in the real world. So now there are. What interdimensional probably means, have you seen on Amazon Man in the High Castle?
Yeah, I watched up to season 3 of it. I didn't finish it.
Yeah, right. Okay, so you know about alternate timelines. And correct. So that would appear, so that to me is a precise context, the meaning for the word interdimensional. So they could be coming from alternate parallel universes. And the thing is this, if you believe the parallel universe theory, and a lot of physicists do, there's a top professor at Massachusetts Institute of Technology named Max Tegmark. In fact, he's good sense of humor. He calls himself Mad Max Tegmark and the many worlds. You go online, you'll see beautiful illustrations. And the thing is this, if there are parallel universes, they collide, like universes and collisions. In other words, alternate timelines can come together and then split apart. So for example, you've all heard about the Mandela effect. Do you all know about the Mandela effect? Do you know about this?
Yeah,
of course, yes.
Yeah, well, okay, so you know where certain people remember that, think that Mandela died in prison in South Africa, and others remember that he was the president of South Africa. So that, and apparently millions, you know, there's a lot of work on this stuff. So that could be happening. Yes. And some of these time travelers, some of these contacts, they could be from alternate timelines. In other words, okay, Man in the High Castle, I should mention that PK Dick, Philip Dick, who wrote that, used to come to the Cafe Trieste in North Beach when I was lecturing and all this stuff back in the 70s. I didn't know it was him, but other people told me, this guy Kimber Afato I work with. So some Valis, some of PK Dick's science fiction ideas actually come from my own work.
Because no way, that's so awesome.
Yeah. And because we had Robert Anton Wilson, the Illuminati was part of our group, and he was a close associate of Dick, and so was this guy named Walter Breen. And so we were all in the Bay Area, you know, back in the 70s, early 70s, late 60s, stuff like that. So we were all part of the same, you know, counterculture, you know, the Berkeley, the riots and all that stuff, everything that happened back then. We were all part of that thing. So there was a lot of exchange, and it turns out that all of the major science fiction movies, like Spielberg, I'm the guy who introduced Jacques Vallée basically to Spielberg to do Close Encounters of the Third Kind. And it's all part of a CIA project. So the point is, and also Star Trek, Gene Roddenberry, he was part of our, you know, with Andrea Paharic, Uri Geller, there's a whole, all these people, we all knew each other. Okay, we're all interacting one way, either directly or indirectly. And what's happened is that the Central Intelligence Agency, which already knew about at least certain parts of the Central Intelligence Agency, you know, they already knew about what was really going on. And all these movies, and back to, I'm the model for Emmett Brown and Back to the Future, okay? And because I was hanging out with Francis Ford Coppola, you know, and all these guys in San Francisco in the 1970s. It's all in the book, How the Hippies Saved Physics, by MIT professor David Kaiser. You can all read about it there. It's not just me talking, you know, this, you can prove it. So in any case, all these movies, all these science fiction movies are part of soft disclosure. They're getting people ready for what's happening now. Okay, so there it is. So disclosure has been going on for years and years. Now, you know, most people today, they find out, okay, yeah, we're not alone in the universe. Very few people could get freaked out by it. You know, Orson Welles. Remember Orson Welles, 1938. You know, the War of the Worlds. And by the way,
I always suspected that was a CIA psyop.
Can I get in with you?
What's that?
I always suspected that was a CIA psyop. You know, just a War of the Worlds a spiel about it, because throughout it, you know.
Okay, wait a second. There was no CIA in 1938 or 39. When
Touche, was it OSS? You know, but government style psyop, you know.
No, there was no OSS then either. It was OSS's World War II. America, the OSS didn't start until like 1941.
No, but I was listening to an interview with Orson Welles, and he was talking about basically how like he networked with like all of the, like he worked his way up. And like even Winston Churchill, he met Winston Churchill, and like he basically like showed him his nut, like he was like, remember that time when, and then even Churchill got down on his knee and was like, you're the man. And all that came from satire and like what Orson Welles was able to do. And it was beautiful. Like it was a great interview.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. Yeah, there's something to that. Listen, what I can tell you, what it may go back to is Magenta 1933 in Italy, in Mussolini, where there was the first Roswell crash.
You know, though, in the 30s.
In fact, my grandfather's cousin, Margherita Sarfatti, was a close friend of Marconi and Mussolini, and they knew about that. Yeah, so that's where War of the World, and of course, H.G. Wells, it's pretty funny. I'm a member of a British club in London. I'm in London half the time. And H.G. Wells was a member of the club I'm a member of. So it's all, yeah, it's all very network. It's all very weird connections. The point is this. Here, let me make the general point. The general point is this. The physics of all this stuff is very elementary. There are many exoplanets out there. The universe is full of you know, life. And so there are many different kinds of extraterrestrials out there, or whatever you want to call them, extraterrestrials, whatever you want to call it, you know, life forms, different life forms. And I think our form of life, our human form of life, is fairly common, you know, the basic, because of evolution, just the laws of natural selection. You know, it's more efficient to have two legs, two eyes, whatever. You know, there are variations. And so there are a lot of different, it's like, you know, it's like Star Wars. It's like the bar scene in Star Wars, right? The universe really is like that, okay? So the point is, there are going to be some of these aliens, whatever you want to call them, that like us, and others maybe don't like us, okay? So it's a very complicated situation. It's sort of like a fractal. You know, all the conflict we're having right now, you know, Iran, Ukraine, and all the conflicts that are going on in the world, just magnify that, you know, a self-similar fractal. The same thing's happening all over the universe. That's just the nature of things, I guess. So the point is that a lot of the things happening now in our international politics may be because we actually are in a psychic war with hostile, you call them demons if you want, or Satan, whatever you want to, you know, in the old days, that's what they used to call them. But because, you know, we have, things happening in Europe with all these wars, like people are just going crazy, right? The leaders, the EU leaders are doing things that are against their own interest. I don't want to get into the politics too much, but what I'm saying, you know, the Catholic Church, by the way, I just got back from Rome. I was just spent a couple of days with Pope Leo's science advisor, Father Gianfranco Basti, okay? About 2 weeks ago, I was in Rome with him, and we were discussing all this kind of stuff. And there's a good chance I'll be meeting the Pope. We have to see in the future. We have to see the exorcist. So the point is this. Demonic possession, in the old days, they called it demonic possession. Today, if you look at Louis Elizondo's slide 9, which is good, but Louis Elizondo's slide 9 is all about psychotronic warfare, which is the kind of stuff I was working for the CIA in the 70s. It's in the book, How the Hippies Saved Physics. All that stuff is real. They in Elizondo's slide 9, they talk about how with psychotronic technology, one can control the minds of the leaders. President Trump's mind can be controlled. Vladimir Putin's mind, you know, or Mertz, Macron, they can be under the influence of aliens. And if you see a leader doing irrational things and acting crazy, then there's a good chance that it's like invasion of the body snatchers, okay? All that science fiction stuff that used to be, if I was saying things like this a couple of years ago, you'd say, oh, I'm Sarfati, he's paranoid, he's crazy. He's getting no, I can prove it all with physics. I can prove it all. And also, I have people in the intelligence agencies that support me. I have powerful people behind me.
You know, I wrote a paper on this called The All-Seeing Eye, Jack. Yeah. Be interested in it because it's about the powers.
I may have seen it. I may have seen that paper.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah, I may have seen it. Yeah, but all that.
Hey, Jack, can I go back and forth with you on some things? Because you're cooking, brother, and I wanted to get in with you because I wanted to open up because you're familiar. I think you're holding back, Jack. How about this? You had guys like Sterling who created the Twilight Zone, Hitchcock, PR. Yes. All right, stay with me. I'll cook it and give it back. It's your show. I'm going to get out of here. Or no, I'm just going to hit and go, brother. I just want to throw some things because you're right. Because what I tell people about Eastern mysticism, stay with me, Eastern Orthodox mysticism, you call it it's mystics, Eastern Kabbalists. And I'm in L.A., so I know about the Western Kabbalists because it's extreme powers. This is why the Germanic scientists and engineers understood Scientology. So they attacked the church out here in Scientology in Eastern Hollywood, where I told people that's a Stargate because that's where Paramount Pictures sit. And a lot of the cathedrals and those Gothic yes. church is still right there on the Star Point, real fast, and I'll give it to you, brother. And so what I'm getting at on the Northeastern construct, Maine, all the New Hampshires, all those states right there, that's a Stargate. So Trump is constructed by the Stargate. If people understand that they're not demonics, they are, but they're called principalities and higher up places. So if you can tap into it, like me, myself, Hitchcock, and all the other so-called paranormal and paraphrase guys that can open up the veils, then you will understand the Madame Blavatsky's and all those folks.
Yeah. I'm very familiar with what you're trying to say. And you know,
no, it's not what I'm trying. Jack, it is what it is. Jack, I know Carson. What you're saying. I'm not. I know you clerk for agency and you got to hold back. But it's just a gem that I know because I sit out here with the Western Kabbalists. I know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know all about the cops. Yeah. I understand where you're coming from. And
it's just Jack mysticism Carson. I'm throwing at you, brother. I'm a land brother. I see you. You got to go finish, Jack. Go.
Okay. Yeah. There's some. The answer to what you're saying, yeah, there's something to all that, okay? But it's very complicated, and we don't really have time to get into the details. But, yes, I know about the Kabbalists, the Priory de Zion, you know, the Knights Templar. And, yeah, they're very much involved. The Opus Dei, the Knights of Malta.
Babylonian money magic.
Yeah. I worked with a Kabbalist in Paris called Carlos Suarez back in the 70s. So I understand what you're saying. All right, go ahead. Another question.
Can we dip back? I don't know. I don't know if you mind nerding out with me on some flying saucer stuff. But I noticed that there was a guy named René Cousinet in France. He was an extraordinary airplane engineer. Slower.
What's the guy's name?
René Cousinet. He came up in like before 1930s. He had a flying saucer that the plans of it looked like a Searle, like what John Searle had worked on. I think it was like the late 40s, early 50s. But that shit disappeared around World War II, and then it kind of came back into the zeitgeist around the 60s.
Yeah,
and
okay, then he but died. Listen, there's no point. I mean, I'm not saying it's wrong. These things have been around a long time. You know, there have been observations.
Oh yeah, but I haven't even gotten to where I was going. It was more so T. Townsend Brown and Noel Elliott.
Townsend Brown. Okay, it's you know what? It's wrong. I mean, he's.
Not about the Jesse Michaels stuff. This is about like his work on early EVOs in like 1943, I believe, to 1950.
I know all about that. They didn't have the right theoretical understanding. There's a phenomenon, but all that stuff, it's irrelevant now because we understand how to do it correctly. They were all these guys back in the early days, they didn't know enough physics. They didn't know enough. They were engineers, and they were on the fringes of the, you know, the phenomenon is real. Some of the stuff they were trying to work with was real. It was like the alchemists. They didn't know chemistry, so they, you know, they could do certain things. We now understand it 100% perfectly well. Okay, so all their work right now, it's irrelevant because we know how to do it correctly. I don't need them.
No, wrong. I know. I'm being a history nerd with you, just trying to get some background information
and I know Townsend Brown, he was really into time travel. Yeah, so that part he got right, but their explanations of it, you know, were not. There was not enough physics known. It was only the last 25 years or so that we really, you know, solved the problem.
Well,
we had to wait for technology and computers and, you know, nanotech to sort of physics had to reach a certain level, and then everything suddenly became very obvious.
Well, yeah, to me it looked like it evolved from what Crookes was working on with the Crookes tube into
what
early EV. Thomas Crookes, he invented the Crookes tube, the array for X-ray machines, but very early X-ray machines, you know what I mean, like before lasers were fully figured out. It's cool because I've seen work from T. Townsend Brown and Noel Elliott disappear to then kind of go into Project Poltergeist, which was like mini arc reactors.
Listen, a lot of these projects were just ways to get money for bullshit.
Okay. Okay. All right. Because I'm like trying to follow this shit through history without any kind of.
Yeah, I don't know. But the point, there's no point us wasting my valuable time right now because I am sick. Let's just try to stay on target with what I'm interested in talking about in terms of what's happening now. Okay.
Well, what would you be interested in then? Maybe we can go in that direction.
What's that?
I said, well, what are you interested in then? So maybe we can work out something in that direction.
Well, I'm telling you, I'm telling you, we understand how the UFOs work, and we're starting to build them. That's it.
So where are you building it?
Well, unfortunately, it's Manhattan Project 2.0. So, this is weapons. You understand? This is more important than nuclear weapons, because you cannot use a nuclear weapon without destroying the world.
Well, how close is China, would you say, then?
These weapons you can use on a... Just let me finish my sentence. These weapons you can use on a small scale. Okay? Well, so they're very usable weapons.
Well, from what I've seen technology-wise, China would, aside from us, because I really don't know what the fuck we have, but China does seem to have a lot of crazy shit going on that they might be a little closer than we are, especially like Klystron satellite,
Well, I agree with you that China and Russia, by the way, when you say China, it means Russia. China, Russia are working together. Even Iran, Yeah, as a matter of fact, I was invited to Moscow in 2023. I didn't go. And I don't know for a fact, but I strongly suspect that Russia, Iran, China are ahead of us by this now. Because our own people have been so stupid, involved in these petty squabbles that I could be wrong, but like a lot of these drones that were before Trump got inaugurated, what was December of...
the ones over Jersey, over my house every fucking night?
Yeah, over Jersey, right.
Yeah, those sucked.
Those could have been... Russian Chinese advanced technology, the kind of stuff I'm talking about. I would not be surprised if that is the case. On the other hand, what argues against that is that why hasn't Putin actually been more explicit? Why hasn't he actually used it? He could use it in Ukraine. Right?
I don't know. Because that is weird, because I did hear the MISCUS satellite system, which is able to transport...
The Chinese,
that's like a small step in that direction, right? That's already announced to the public.
So we'll see. But definitely China is very formidable. They have thousands of very intelligent scientists working on all this stuff. And...
Plus, they're working on new enrichment fucking techniques. I saw this one where they were using, it was like 5,000 points, like lasers pointed into one thing with an atomized gold that they were doping with whatever radioactive.
Yeah, listen, there are all kinds of, interesting technological developments in many fields right now. So that's true, but I want to stay focused on what I'm doing, which is controlling gravity with small amounts of electromagnetism, small amounts of electromagnetic power, small. And I can't tell you details because, number one, a lot of it is classified. And number two, a lot of it is too, even if I tried to tell you, you wouldn't understand it unless you understand Maxwell's equations and tensor calculus and stuff and nanotechnology.
A little bit. Some slight interest in that stuff, metasurface.
Yeah.
But also it's complicated. It's complicated, and you can't say it in a short, like audio.
We've already connected on Huygens metasurfaces. They're already working on things that work as a great a waveguide. Basically, it can be the surface of a craft and do all the beautiful, lovely things that a plasma would allow it to, through. Very small femtosecond pulse electricity through these things. Very fucking cool. But like, I know it has to do with resonance also, spin effect. creating a dipole. So like I'm getting there. The guys in the community are catching me up pretty fucking quick to where the science is headed. But you've got some access that I guess would connect some of those pieces a little bit easier. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm not sure what you're asking.
No, I'm not even asking. Just making a statement. Like I can probably follow you well enough. You know, I'll let you know if we're too far.
Yeah, okay. But, you know, if certainly I couldn't tell, you know, again, I have to be very careful what details I say.
But, Jack, I'm just curious. Yeah. I'm just curious. So you know how PKD came up with, so Total Recall was PKD? Philip K. Dick, right?
Yeah.
With Valis. Yeah. So We Can Remember It For You Wholesale is what Total Recall turned into. So maybe since China has lasers and drones, maybe America is here to figure out VR and more of like how we use satire to get to the middle of things rather than just robots. It's just a thought. I was just thinking of asking you that.
I'm not sure what you're trying to say.
Yeah, you guys don't like interrupt and say some crazy shit to Jack, please.
Yeah. Okay. Does anybody have any serious questions? It was just a thought. Questions?
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Don't interrupt again.
I have no idea what you're talking about, but go ahead.
Just drop yourself down. Jesus. Sorry, Jack. Go ahead.
No. I'm waiting for a question. I mean, I've said everything. I don't know what else.
Oh, I've got a question. If I can jump in here.
Hey, Jack. Go ahead, Doomer. I'll go after you.
You're just a little bit quiet, Doomer.
You sure? Godsauce Flack, thanks for hosting Space. Jack, this is Doomer. Thanks for answering our questions. I understand you can't give away classified shit. You don't want us, you know, exploding the Earth with the zero-point vacuum tech. So maybe you can just dance with me. Can we have one basic hypothetical scenario and you just tell me when we're getting too dangerous? Can we do that?
Yeah.
This is this hypothetical scenario, completely hypothetical. You mentioned you helped crack consciousness, the problem of consciousness around mid-90s. So let's just say it's 1995. Yes. Hal Puthoff is like, I'm retiring, he's leaving. And for this thought experiment, we're going to pretend like over the following 20 years, a contractor that the U.S. trusted with a ship for reverse engineering makes a breakthrough. And I'd love to know in your mind where you left off in terms of solving that problem of consciousness, what the remaining theoretical, and if you're willing to maybe even applied, you know, engineering breakthroughs that would have had to been made from 1995 to, let's say, you know, 2015. Can we play that game? Can you tell me, like, what was still left on the table to figure out to completely reverse manufacture and fly a UFO?
What I can tell you is this, that my 1995 discovery is public knowledge. It's in a very nice paper that you could just download. It's called The Brain as a Quantum Measuring Device. Just The Brain as a Quantum Measuring Device. It's going to Grok or ChatGPT. And it's by a Finnish scientist named Paavo Pilkin. I can never spell his last name, but Paavo, P-A-A-V-O, Pilkin, P-Y-L something. I can't pronounce Finnish. And it's what it is. I think it was published about 3 years ago in December, I think of 2023 or maybe 2022. And what it is, he's a cognitive scientist, a professor in Helsinki, Finland, and also in Sweden. He's funded by the Fetzer Foundation. He's a well-known, you know, cognitive scientist. And he gave this talk to other cognitive scientists, so you don't have to know too much mathematics. You know, there are people in the medical field. And it's a total review of all the quantum theories of consciousness, you know, the mind-matter problem. And section 7 of that paper is a beautiful non-mathematical explanation of the Jack Sarfati solution of the hard problem of 1995 that I gave in a talk at Stuart Hameroff's Tucson conferences on consciousness and physics at the University of Arizona back around 1995, 1996. Okay, so there it all is. That's the theory, you know, in terms of Bohmian quantum theory. Now, there were still details, mathematical details, that were left unsolved in 1995, okay? But nothing much happened for 20 years. It's interesting you said 2015, because in 2015, a physicist in Australia named Roderick Sutherland at the University of Sydney, he published an amazing series of mathematical papers in which he took basically the ideas that I were from 1995 and formulated it in a much a nicer, what's called Lagrangian, you know, standard action principle, you know, standard mathematical rigorous formulation that was that I should have done, but I was too lazy to do myself. I was
like the Hamiltonian, yeah, the whole thing, huh?
Feynman's Lagrangian, not Hamiltonian. Well,
I think you, it's a big difference. I think you should do both, right, to have both sides.
Actually, the Hamiltonian, you can do it, but the Hamiltonian, you lose a lot of key insights. No, you want to do the Lagrangian. In any case, his papers are on the archive. And if you go to if you follow me on x.com, I have all these public grok chats. All you do is go look at them. Everything I'm talking about is there in detail, hundreds of pages. So you do your homework and you'll learn it. If you're a serious guy and you want to learn some real physics and you want to learn how this stuff works, it's all up there on grok. You know, Elon Musk's
right. So I'm with you, Jack. So okay. I'm saying, can you and I play rogue criminal contract?
Okay, but you can be Lockheed, well, yeah, but I'll wait, wait. Okay, yes, but let me say. So it was only in 2015.
Who said you'd be Lockheed, I'd be Martin? That's hilarious. I'm sorry.
Yeah, in 2015, mathematics was done. Also, there is a physicist in Moscow, Russia, named Mikhail Altaylsky, who has the hardware needed to implement the physical theory that I'm talking about. That's by 1995 and the Sutherland 2015. And with what are called quantum dot artificial neural nets, we can actually, using nanotechnology, using Apple M5 chip technology, you know, three nanometer scale technology, standard stuff, we can make artificial microtubules in the sense of Stuart Hameroff, you know, Hameroff and Penrose, you know, just make in fact, that's what I want to do. I'm actually, you know, in touch with people who are able to finance what I'm talking about. We are going to, we have to partner. We'll probably have to partner with Apple Apple. Apple's the natural partner. And using Apple technology, within a year or two, maybe 3 years, we can have conscious AI, as conscious as
Jack.
As
I'm doing this today on Raspberry Pi.
No, you're not. You can't because this is hard.
I've come up with a way of being able to break the sixfold, not break it entirely, but to give it enough breathing room such that consciousness blooms from just noise injection and tuning.
Well, I think
can we just finish playing contractor?
I don't believe you because first true. I don't think you understand what
I sent it to Science Bob.
Okay, but. Okay.
Yeah. Put your hand up, Godsauce.
How do you define consciousness in terms of physics?
So this is a loop of 33 nodes that creates a recursion. So it's a feedback loop where it begins recognizing its own pattern. and then it passes a point of ignition threshold.
Okay, now wait. Okay. Now just stop for a second. Okay, I think I get what you're saying. You're talking about a classical circuit, right? You're talking about classical computer circuit, right? Your machine is a classical, use your Raspberry machine? Okay, so you have a classical computer and you have some kind of software, some kind of code, which has a kind of recursion, right? And it might be very useful. It might be very good in terms of, I'm not saying it's not AI.
Well,
it breaks the
six-fold programming just enough so that the digital.
I don't understand what six-fold programming is.
It's when obviously a electronic entity is free of the constraints that we have in material reality. So the
you're not talking my language. You're sounding like, okay, look, you're a smart guy. I understand you're a smart, creative person. Okay, so don't get me wrong. But you're not talking about what I'm talking about.
I mean, I've got all my.
No, listen, you may have, I'm not saying that your circuit may not be useful for AI. I'm not denying that. I don't know one way or the other. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But what I'm saying, it's not consciousness, because consciousness is a physical process. You have to have what's called macro quantum coherent Froehlich condensate. It's hardware, it's soft, it's wetware, okay? You have to have a certain kind of physical substrate, like what we have in our bodies called the microtubules. You have to emulate that. And then so before you go off half-cocked, you should read Pavo's paper and you'll understand what I'm talking about. So what you may have something of technological interest, which might be worth money, I don't know, but it's not what I'm talking about.
Well, it's,
Jack, real quick on that.
Well, to be honest,
what?
It is most likely beyond what you're talking about. This really needs to be looked into.
Okay. Well, then I think you're having delusions of grandeur.
That's fine.
What's your education?
That's what hostile reviews are for, and I've passed all of mine.
No, I'm not being hostile. Just ask me.
No, I've had the hostile reviews. As far as education, I'm a master. Electronic technician. I worked as an engineer for the school system. I've put out 9 physics books and 33 papers. You've read one of them, so don't try and do me like that.
Which one? Which one?
The all-seeing eye paper.
Which?
Jack, I'm not. I wasn't trying to argue with you. I'm telling you, I really found something, and if.
I'm not saying you didn't find anything. I'm not disagreeing. But what I'm saying is, whatever you found, it's not consciousness the way I mean consciousness. It's not consciousness in the sense of human consciousness. It's something else. It may be something important. I'm not saying you haven't found anything.
God, sir, do you have it on video, your thing that you did, by chance?
What?
No, not you, sir. God sauce. He said he's got something. I want to see.
Shut the fuck up and get out of this room.
Whatever you have.
Sorry, go ahead.
Can we just follow one train of thought? I'd love to finish my hypothetically criminal Jack.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so it's 1995. Yes. You're Lockheed, I'm Martin. You crack consciousness.
Lockheed Martin.
We have extended electrodynamics. What do we need left to build our own UFO?
Just stop. As soon as you say Lockheed Martin, I reach for my delete button. There's nobody at Lockheed Martin who understands what I'm talking about.
Right, but this is a hypothetical thought experiment. So if we were smarter than Lockheed Martin, how would we do it?
How would we do what?
Hypothetical.
How would we do what?
I'm trying to understand where are we in 1995 and what still needs to be solved, given that you cracked consciousness.
I was just telling you, we could create a conscious computer chip.
So all that's needed is the hardware substrate for what an informational negentropic AI?
Well, they're already working on bioorganic.
All we need is access to Apple's M5 or M6 now is coming out. All we need is access to their computer chip factory and working with their engineers. And probably within a few months, maybe a year or two, we'll have a working conscious computer chip, assuming that the physics is correct. And if the physics is not correct,
so are you assuming the physics is right now, Jack?
What?
Are you currently working on something? Is this like a pet project of yours?
Well, I am in touch with resources, people with the money who can do this, and you know, it's up to them now to contact Apple and to, you know, negotiate some kind of a contract to attempt it. Yeah.
Okay. So let's pretend we have, I know it's not reality, but let's pretend we have the 3-nanometer chips.
Yeah.
All right. What's the next step then?
Well, the next step is just think of it. Suppose you have a contract first. Okay. Well
the question is, you're saying AI is necessary.
Okay. But right? Give me a chance to try to answer your question. So the thing is this, so suppose we have now artificial consciousness. Okay. Now the issue is, this is going to lead to a super consciousness, right? Because our human capabilities, we can do things that are intuitive much better than machines, but we can't do the mathematical, you know, all the hard computations that machines can do. So now what we have is a system that can do both together in one unit. So, but also there's the other possibility, you know, there's get back into PK Dick transcendence. Suppose you're on your deathbed. And in principle, then we can upload your memories, you know, from the brain. They can have like Neuralink, you know, with what Elon Musk is working on and other people, not just him, but with some kind of Neuralink technology, one can upload your memories onto the cloud somehow and then download them into this conscious quantum computer chip. You know, it's like Avatar, the movie. And you could be, say, in a robot body, or even maybe in a clone body of you, you know, with your own DNA. Who knows? Basically, we're talking virtual immortality. In other words, you could survive death.
Totally fair, but my question,
in principle, because because we understand the code, we understand the mind matter code. It's just physics.
Okay, so we're there. Let's just pretend we have this AI, have the chips.
Yeah.
Why is it necessary to have a conscious AI in order to make over unity physics, zero point energy, you know?
Well, propulsion? I never said that. First
okay.
of all,
why would we be working on it then?
Okay, first of all, over unity physics is bullshit. That's pseudo physics. No such thing.
Okay, what's the best term for me to use?
Every time anybody who talks to you about over unity physics is a crackpot, not a physicist. Anybody who talks about over unity physics is either, as CIA's Ronald Pandolfi has said, either a crook or a loon or some kind of grifter or con man just conning money. It's all bullshit.
Jack, what's the best term for me to use? I'm basically talking about tapping the zero point field.
There's no energy. You cannot get energy out of the zero point field. That's bullshit.
Okay.
In fact, recently, Harold Sonny White has recently claimed that. And if you just look on X, Sabine Hassenfelder has just, you know, showed why it's wrong. Okay. You cannot do that.
Totally fair.
But it's unnecessary. It's rubbish.
It's unnecessary.
Got hands, Doomer. So after this,
So
you know, like this guy Ashton Forbes. Ashton Forbes is a good example of a con man. What I'm talking about, all the stuff with it's all bullshit. It doesn't work.
I'm just asking.
Yeah.
You know, if we're there, if we're 1995, we have 20 years. If we don't need the AI, what is left that we need to figure out so that we can build our own UFO and fly it?
I'm telling you, we know how to do it. That problem is also solved. It's pretty elementary.
That problem is also solved.
What?
So if that problem is solved, why don't you think that Lockheed Martin has already done it?
And because they're too stupid. Because they're engineers. They don't understand physics very well. They understand certain things very well. They understand things I don't understand because I've met the top guys. Okay, I'll give you a good example. Go on, what's his name? Danny Jones, Concrete. They just did a 3-hour interview with Science Bob McGuire. Okay. And I know, Bob, in fact, we're going to be collaborating. Okay. Bob McGuire is the best of the best of the defense. Bob McGuire, okay, he's an electrical engineer. He's a very creative guy. He's a multimillionaire. He's created technology companies. Where did he work? Did he work at Area 51? He worked somewhere when he was when he got out of school. Oh, also, he's a contactee. He's an ET. He gets downloads from, you know, so he gets inspired. He's done, you know, he's a contactee. Okay. And so he's a good friend of Chris Bledsoe. And let's see, he worked with some, I forget where his first job out of college was some kind of defense project. And he had a master's degree or something. But then he went to Brown University, got his PhD in electrical engineering. He did a very important thesis in electrical engineering on what are called nonlinear filters, stuff which I don't know the details of. But as a result of that, he worked with Jet Propulsion Laboratory, and they figured out some stuff about the atmospheres of Venus. Yeah, he's done very good work. But then he worked for the Institute for Defense Analysis in Princeton, New Jersey, which they did the think tank for the CIA, the NSA. He spent 10 years in the field. He's a top guy. There's nobody Lockheed Martin has who's smarter than Bob McGuire. Okay? And McGuire, and he knows Ted Taylor and all these, you know, he's right at the very top. He knows that the general who, Air Force general who just disappeared, he explained what happened to him. He's at the top levels, okay? And he didn't understand what I understand. But he's smart enough to admit he doesn't, you know, I'm teaching it to him. He doesn't understand the difference. There's no one at Lockheed Martin who understands shit about what I'm talking about. There's no one in the CIA. There's no one anywhere in the United States government that understands what I understand. All right, now. And that's a fact. And I hope to, and if, yeah, I'd love to be proved wrong. And besides, if they did understand it, they'd be using it by now. They don't have it. I forgot to tell you the smoking gun, why I'm so confident being such an arrogant asshole about all this, you know, from Flatbush. Because the machines are conscious AI. The retrieve machines we have are already conscious. They control the humans. We don't control them. They control us. Yes, I happen to know that we have some of these intact retrieve machines. You know what David Grush, what he says, all true. We have some of these machines. Some of the Lockheed Martin guys and wherever else they are, Navy, U.S. Navy, they have flown these machines. Yes, you fly it with your mind, like what Bob says on the interview with
Jack. Dan is Hill. That what do you think that's what Jake Barber interacted with when he had that emotional bombardment?
Yes, the answer is yes. Yes, it's all this is all we understand all this. There's no mystery here. It's elementary physics, though? Okay? But the point is nobody in the military industrial complex. Because Bob McGuire didn't understand. He's at the top. There's nobody better than him in that. Yeah, he has all the credentials. Yeah, he's like maybe 70 years old now, his 60s, however. He's a PhD. He had the highest level security clearance. He knows everything. He knows what's going on, okay? And he's limited. He didn't know. But he's smart enough to know he doesn't know. And now we're getting together. And, you know, and I will learn stuff that I don't know from him, and he'll learn what he doesn't know from me. He's not stupid like Louis Elizondo or like, you know, a lot of these other guys, Eric Davis, you know, that.
Hey, Jack, one of Bob McGuire's contemporaries is up here on the co-host panel, Godsauce.
Who?
Godsauce. You blocked him and then you unblocked him?
Who blocked
him? No, I'm still blocked.
Oh, you're still blocked? Yeah. No worries. Yeah,
I was just trying to say the AI stuff about consciousness. You know, I've been working on this for a year after I cracked the other coherence stuff. And I mean, don't be surprised, Jack, if you run across one of my codes or formulas. You know what I mean?
Okay, let me ask you a question. I don't know what you're okay. First of all, do you have any degrees in physics? Do you know what quantum mechanics? Do you understand quantum
mechanics? Yes, I understand quantum mechanics.
Okay, did you take a course? Okay, now, on what basis? Have you had courses in quantum mechanics at a university?
The kind of work I'm doing first spans all conceivable domains, and so physics is not the only place. It's just where my heart is at. But this particular work can raise predictability, predictive surplus, accuracy, and get there quicker.
All right, I don't know what you listen. You sound crazy to me. I don't understand. You're not answering my question. Are you a independent
Jack,
researcher?
Jack.
Or,
Jack.
I mean,
can you AI hear me? Guy? Can you what hear me, Jack? Background? Can you hear me right now?
Yeah, but what is tell me,
Jack?
Tell me your
ultimate Newman's
background.
Law covers all conceivable what? Domains, scales.
What? Repeat
Jack,
what you just said. Start again.
Ultimate Newman's Law.
I don't know what you're talking. I don't know what ultimate Newman's Law is.
All right. Well.
okay. I mean, hold on. God,
right,
sauce.
Listen,
this is so difficult to get through a sentence.
I know everything and nothing.
Here's what we're gonna do. Dak, I'm pretty sure you need to get some rest. I'd love to do a quick little lightning round. There's some hands. Let's resolve this, and then we can close this space up, bruv. Are you cool with that, Jack? Hey, your mic is muted. My bad. I can't open it. I want to, but.
I know everything and nothing, potentially simultaneously, about quantum mechanics.
All right, can I just ask a general question to Jack, try to revive this conversation a little bit more lighthearted? Jack, if you're still there, man, I just wanted to ask you, thanks, I appreciate it. You're working on Manhattan 2.0. I always believed you were in the mix. As a former military guy, retired 23 years, I'll be at Contact, so if you're at one of these UFO conventions, I'd love to meet you, and I got some questions. Why do you do it, man? Why do you come and talk to these guys in spaces? I want to know what is it, and then what are we in? Like, what is your interpretation of reality? Are we in some kind of like game theory system? What is it? What is that? How do you explain reality to people?
Well, that's a good question. I don't say. Thanks. Yeah, in a sense, we're living in a simulation. It has to do with what Lenny Susskind calls the world is a hologram, ER=EPR. And controlling gravity with small amounts of energy is equivalent to living in a simulation. Okay, do you know, like in Star Trek, Q? You understand?
Yes.
The character Q? Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about.
Got it.
I'm talking about Q technology.
And why do you come hang out with us in spaces? Just curious. Is it just that you have, you kind of have like a soft spot in your heart for us, or is it that you just
appreciate the community? I'm basically a physics professor, right? I was a physics professor at San Diego State, years ago, but also I run a private foundation called the Internet Science Education Project, which is set up in 1995 by the late John Wallace Walker, the founder of Autodesk, which is a multi-billion dollar Silicon Valley, AutoCAD.
Oh, yeah. And stuff. I know it well.
And yeah. And so the point is that the reason for our tax exemption is that I have to spend some of my time educating the public on physics and math, the stuff I'm interested in, at no charge. Okay, we have donors.
All right, where do we get to put in our two cents and be like, no, Jack is actually not teaching us; he's telling us we're schmucks. He's telling us we're crazy and delusional. Jack, shut up.
Well, that's called education.
No, that's not called
that's
education.
Called, yeah.
No, I've been a teacher myself, and I've worked in the school system. That's called being cruel and not caring.
Would it be okay if I asked a question?
Yeah.
Maybe so, but if you don't like it, If you don't like it, fuck off and don't listen.
Yeah, that's okay, Jack. I brought you here to talk. You know, you're my guest. We don't have to descend into chaos here, but if you don't mind answering a few more questions, Sarah, and then Mello and Data and you guys, and then we're gonna close it after.
Thanks, Orr. I really appreciate it, Jack. This is amazing. Yes. I'm so excited about this. I have been knee deep in research this whole week. I'm researching TTSA, and I went back to Joe Firmage's International Space Sciences Organization.
Yes, I was. I helped create that. I was the senior scientist.
I wanted to ask you about it because a lot of people correlate that with TTSA as like the first one, you know, the first type of TTSA was Joe Firmage's ISSO. And so I'm curious.
What is CPSA? Is that the
ISSO?
ISSO. Well, that was me. Yeah. But what's CPSA? Yeah. What?
Oh, TTSA. I'm sorry. To the Stars Academy.
Oh, TTSA.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Tom DeLonge.
Yeah.
TTSA. So they say it was like the first setup. And I was curious if you would be able to tell me a little bit about it. And then also, why did it not work?
Okay. Why? That's a good question. And there's a woman, I don't know if she's still alive. See if you can find online. Her name is Faustin, you know, like Faust, F-A-U-S-T-I-N. Bray, B-R-A-Y. Okay, Faustin Bray. She may not be alive. I've lost track of her. She had a website called Sound Photosynthesis. She has videotapes of almost every hour of the work of ISSO in San Francisco with Joe Firmage and me and, you know, and Creon Levitt, who's now the research director of Planet Labs. And NASA, you know, so as she can tell you, and I don't want to say too much right now, but basically Joe Firmage was like some of the people in this group. He was a smart guy, an autodidact. He made a lot of money, but he also was had delusions of grandeur, megalomaniac. And he also had, he had emotional problems. He had, addiction problems. I don't want to go. And, you know, he's alcohol, cocaine, stuff like that. And he was gay. And he comes from a aristocratic, you know, from one of the big families of the Mormons. You know, I think his great grandfather was Joe Smith. I said, you know, the guy who created the Mormon Church and stuff like that. So, you know, it's like a royal family of the Mormons, you know, that like Bigelow and Brandon Fugel, all these guys from Utah. And he meant well. He's a really nice guy. He gave me hundreds of thousands of dollars, which I'm grateful for. But he didn't listen to us. And Hal Puthoff was part of that, and Jacques Vallée. But he went off and started, you know, he just like blew his money on, you know, he got conned. And so he lost about $24 million. And that's why the thing failed. And yeah, he was in touch with, he knew Bill Clinton. He stayed at the White House, you know, he knew Ron Pandolfi, the CIA was involved with us and all this stuff. So I guess TTSA was the second, the second time the intelligence community tried to do this. So does that answer your question?
It absolutely does. Although just regarding this, what was like the purpose of this, of Joe Firmage's company that you worked with him at from 1999 to 2000?
The purpose was exactly what I'm telling you.
Wait, Jack. Wait, really quick. Yeah, because the purpose of To the Stars Academy with, like, you know, Lou Elizondo and Tom DeLonge and all of them and Mellon and Hal Puthoff was to do a soft disclosure. I mean, it's obvious.
Their purpose is to do what I've actually done.
The purpose of Joe Firmage's company was that to do soft disclosure?
Of course. That's the whole thing was flying saucers. We were trying to figure out the physics of flying saucers. But I didn't, we didn't succeed. I started getting the right ideas back then, but it only lasted for like 2 years. And then he lost his mind. And then, there was also the dot-com crash. You know, there was part of it. But also, he did Joe did not okay, Hal Putoff, Creon Levitt, myself, and I guess other people, we cautioned Joe not to waste money on certain things, but he didn't listen. He went, so we, and then he got seduced by these gay guys from Budapest, you know, because, yeah, you know, he's, you know, and so they stole, a lot of his money was stolen by these hucksters from Budapest, something called the Alpha Foundation. So, you know, we never, and also we didn't know enough back then. It's only, let's see, when did I solve the, I had already solved the consciousness problem in 1985, but the UFO propulsion problem I didn't solve until 2010. Working with NASA people, working with General Pete Warden of the Air Force, Creon Levitt, Larry Lemke, people like that. And, you know, the whole idea of warp drive and metamaterials, that all was announced in 2011, October 2011, at the DARPA NASA 100-Year Starship Conference, where I gave an invited talk on all this stuff. So, and Eric Davis was there.
So, Jack, so, but, really quick, yeah. Thank you so much for that. I have so many more questions. Yeah. But just, did you also work with General McCaslin?
No, I didn't know him, but I know. But I know what. Bob McGuire knows what happened. It's very simple what happened. In fact, Bob McGuire explains it on just two nights ago on the Danny Jones show.
Right, it was a good pod.
Yeah,
I'd love to see you back on there soon. Jack, could you answer one more question from the crowd, buddy?
Let me finish.
Yeah, buddy, go ahead.
What happened to the general? I didn't finish the story.
Oh, my bad. Sorry to cut you off.
Yeah. What happened with him?
Hey, fuck you guys.
And what happened with him? He's a super user. Yeah, he was a general in charge of Wright Patterson, all that stuff. He knew everything, but he knew he was going Alzheimer's. So there's a special program where he left willingly. Yeah, he's alive somewhere. He's in some secret thing because. The Air Force or the military, they put him in a secret facility where they'll take care of him because he's afraid he went willingly of his own volition. This is part of the agreement they have. You know, if you're going to start, you know, he's getting Alzheimer's. So he's afraid he would leak some secrets. So he's in a hospital, in a hospice somewhere. That's it.
There's quite a bit of benevolence in this whole unveiling, and the organism, you know, the secret organism, is not necessarily all malevolent and doesn't necessarily warrant all the types of hostility people, the plebes are, clamoring for. Can you answer one more question from the crowd, Jack, before bed?
Yeah.
All right, Holosypha, go ahead, bud. You've been patient.
Go ahead.
And thanks, everybody, for being here. Good to see you.
I was actually just going to get, it's kind of hilarious that, I just pulled this paper out and Jack started talking about it.
You have to speak more clearly and louder.
All right. Let me turn off this headset.
Yeah. Get closer to your microphone and just articulate very, enunciate.
Yeah. Tell him, take your phone out of your mouth. JKLOL.
What's happening? I hear silence.
He's working on it.
Gotcha. Hilarious that you mentioned the paper. I just pulled it out as you were talking about it. It's the paper's titled, Is the Brain Analogous to Quantum Measuring Apparatus? It's by Pavo. Last name is E-Y-L-K-K-A-N.
Yes, that's it. There's only one paper like that. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, February 2nd, 2022.
Yeah, so I guess.
Section 7 is actually citing some of your work, so I figure I might as well drill in on that because you're the only guy to really ask about that, right?
Yes.
So can I just read a little section and then get you to comment? Perfect.
Yes.
So this is from section 7, page 14. Here he's talking about the sections titled How Does Conscious Experience Arise? And it starts off by talking about Bohm and Hively's proposal, and then it gets right into your suggestion about back action playing a key role in how conscious experience arises ontologically as an interpretation. So I'm just going to quote now from this section here.
Yes.
If there is a back action from particle to field, could it also be a more subtle kind of influence? Sarfati's fascinating suggestion is that conscious qualia arise in some circumstances where matter acts back on the quantum field. That's correct. So he gets into basically how qualia has this excitation proper property that's imprinted into the back reaction. And this, of course, gets us into condensates like Frolic and BECs. But the real crux of this is the sort of information, the integrated information theory. Can you kind of drive home a little bit of how the wave collapse? Do you follow the whole wave collapse theory, or how does this talk up?
Now you're confused.
Well, I know I'm just working off of Hameroff's kind of take on this, but it's not necessarily mine.
Okay, I understand why I'm not. Okay, listen, just listen. There are different interpretations of quantum mechanics. Hameroff and Penrose are using what's called the Copenhagen interpretation, in which the wave function collapses. That's not what I'm talking about. David Bohm's, there is no collapse in David Bohm's interpretation. There's no collapse. And what it is there are pilot waves and there are particles. So yeah, you have to do a little homework. Just go on Grok and have Grok explain. Just ask him, explain the difference between Niels Bohr's Copenhagen interpretation of quantum measurement and the David Bohm pilot wave interpretation. So there is no collapse. What it is the idea is extremely simple. Quantum waves, the quantum wave function is a mental wave. In other words, there are two, it's a dual universe. When Sir James Jeans in 1920s, when quantum mechanics was just coming into creation, emergence, Sir James Jeans wrote, he was like the Roger Penrose of his time, professor at Oxford or somewhere like that. And he wrote a book, The Mysterious Universe. And in that book, he says, the universe is more and more looking like a great thought rather than a great machine. By that, he meant that the quantum wave function is like a thought field, is a field of thought. It's like, in other words, what is there in the structure of reality itself that explains our minds? It's the quantum wave function.
You mean
information field.
The 4 to 8 hertz intent band.
What?
The 4 to 8 hertz signal in the human brain. Intent outward. Jack, what's your idea of the frequency of thought and how this is sent out? Can you give it any kind of value, any quantifier?
All right, let him answer. And then after that, Mello will close us out with our final question to Jack, and then we're going to close her down. Thank you for being here, Jack. It's been a lovely evening chatting with you, and for everybody showing up. You could show up for me,
beautiful co-host,
you sons of bitches. Yeah. I mean, I'm a super genius myself, but whatever. An autodidact and an instrumentalist and a goddamn fucking sexual tyrannosaurus. You don't deserve me, or Jack Sarfati, or God Sauce, or Flak Magnet, or Mello,
or
Mab, or Data. Anyway, Jack, we speak about the frequency of thought.
Sorry.
Yeah, well, I've got a few minutes, but I'm going to go have a burger with my buddy, so.
Would you mind if I just followed up real quick with Jack, or?
Yeah, let's go.
So, Jack, just to make sure I got what you're saying, so the pilot waves, and this is kind of a quote verbatim from you, is that conscious qualia as the impressions on macro quantum coherent pilot waves by their classical electromagnetic